good morning, church, wherever you are, in your homes or walking for a walk somewhere, we welcome you. Good to have you here in worship. It was just an unbelievable worship time together, was it not? Just putting God right in the center of the place that we are and the needs that we have. Clearly another crazy week of things going on, and it seems to be changing daily. I know from our side, we're leading this way one moment, and then we have to change it to this way, and then this way, and just trying to be good citizens, helping one another, and let's continue to do that. You know, I saw one banner on Facebook from one of our folks here at CDK. It said, we can do hard things, and yes, we can. We can do them because we're together in it. We can do it because God is our God, and He is a God of strength, and He will give us that strength. So we can do the social distancing, and we know that God's not distant, and we can still serve and help and provide for one another in just radical ways. And I'm proud of what you're doing. Let's keep it up. If we just keep it up and we seek to do well, this thing can lessen. We certainly don't want it to get worse. We know there's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of people struggling. We want to meet that need, and that COVID-19 relief fund that you'll see, and the church being strong in these times, awesome ways that literally we can meet neighbor to neighbor, need to need, that's going on out there. I want to remind you, was Sarah shared with you that hope from God a moment ago that reminds us that we want to seek Him first. I shared with you last week this text from John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Now, I don't know about you, as I shared on a live post this week, you know, we can be anxious, we can be troubled, and we can be afraid, and this stuff's whirling in our minds. How is it going to turn out? What's it going to be like next week? What is it going to be like a month from now? What am I going to do with the vacations that I've lost, or my kids that can't go on the trip they're planning to go on, or what about my business, or when am I going to go back to work? There is plenty, believe me, to have whirling in our heads and in our minds and that leave us anxious, and yet God's saying, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. The peace that I give is a gift, and the world can't give it, so don't be troubled or afraid. Easier said than done, but I think the promise is this. Sometimes I just need to get out of my head a moment and get with God and allow Him to give me this gift that He has today and He has tomorrow, and He wants me to live fully in the presence of today, not being so anxious about tomorrow, so I can be the best father, the best husband, the best pastor, the best leader that I can be, engaging the people around me today and not letting tomorrow consume me. He gives another promise in John chapter 14, verse 1. The disciples were afraid and they were scared. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in God. Trust in me, Jesus says. Now, again, easier said than done. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. I want to encourage you, as we're going to walk through this message and this teaching time today, that learn to trust God again. I think we've learned to trust the world a lot, and boy, we have learned how fragile everything can be. In a moment, everything can change. We see that. It's like a big wave coming our way, and we're going, whoa, it's rolling over us. And as I read a post from a good friend of mine, that we're in financial crisis and people are affected locally and we're affected in ways that we can't even imagine. But man, at this moment, do we need to trust God? We need to trust God. Trust in Him. We will get through this and we will be with one another in this. John 16, another promise from God. Jesus says this, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Imagine that. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Imagine that. Can we hold to God with that? Can we hold to God with that? I just want to put that on you, because as we talk today, I want you to turn more and more and more to seeking God. We're people of faith. And maybe today you've joined us online and you're looking for faith. You're looking for a new way. You're looking for a new promise. And I want to encourage you, God is everything that we're talking He is about. God is all of that and more. In fact, we've been in a series, and if you're joining us for the first time, we've been in a series. We're talking about this incredible I Am God. And in the book of Exodus, we see where God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is my name forever. And thus, this is the way that I will be remembered throughout all generations. Imagine that. I'll be remembered through all generations. God was giving us a promise and saying, this is who I am. I am. Now, that's an exhaustive term. That means that God is everything that you need. He is who he will be, is what he's saying. Now, how do we flesh that out in real terms today for you and me? In the New Testament, Jesus stands boldly before the people, and in the book of John, we see all of these I am sayings. And literally, Jesus begins to help us understand how he wants to relate to us, how he wants to be present with us, how he wants us to understand who he is and how he's going to meet these needs and how he can meet us in anxious times. Today, I want to dive in deeper to one of the sayings, I am the good shepherd. Now, you can go online and you can pick up all the other ones before this one. There are many awesome ones that I want you to have because it's how he's relating to you. Today is how he's saying, I am the good shepherd. Now, I tell you, there may be no time like the present that we're wanting a shepherd, that we want someone just to tell us it's going to be okay, that we want someone who's going to hold us and shepherd us and guide us. You know, in this time of social distancing, how many of you want a hug? You know I do. How many of you want the touch? And God is saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm here to hold you. I haven't distanced from you. The thing I want most for you is you to feel the incredible embrace of a heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, and who desires you and wants to give you the embrace that you are longing for. I want you to have that, and that's what I want you to grab today. And to hold on to that. To be shepherded is awesome. To be shepherded is the thing that we all need. To be guided, to be cared for, is what we so want. So I want you to open your Bibles if you're out there. If you're with your kids, gather them together. With your spouse or friends in a room, gather together. Pull out your Bibles if you have them with you or your apps. And I want us to look into John chapter 10. And we're going to walk through this together. And I want you to see how incredible God is as your shepherd. It opens up like this. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen to that. Lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is not the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, it's interesting in that passage how Jesus begins to separate a good shepherd from a hired hand. There's several things I want you to grab. In fact, on our Bible app or online, you can find some notes for today. And there's four key points I want you to grab out of this text. And I'm going to walk through them. And there's also some study notes for you to use during your week. And it's time. You have extra time. We all have a little bit of extra time, perhaps. And I want you to grab that time and spend some time with your family walking through those notes together because it'll give you an opportunity to go deeper. But one of the key points I want you to understand is this. Number one is, your life is worth his life. Just let that settle in a moment. Your life is worth his life. Jesus opens up in chapter 10 saying, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No less than four times in seven verses, Jesus says the same thing. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's something incredible here that God wants us to know. That your life, maybe this is the first time you've even considered God. Jesus is sharing with you that your life is worth his life. Your life is worth the life of God. Imagine that. You are that valuable. Now, how does he help us understand the difference of the value? You know, one is when he's separating it from the good shepherd and the hired hand. Literally, he's saying the hired hand doesn't love the sheep. He's just hired. As long as he's getting paid, he's going to do his job. But what if he's not? As long as things are nice and things are going well, the hired hand's going to take care of you. But if he gets dangerous, he's out of here. Jesus says, that's not the good shepherd. Now, rightly so, all of us, myself included, have been hired hands. And we kind of know what that's like. When the going gets tough, we run. You know, when somebody doesn't meet our needs, we leave. When we're unlovable, they walk out. We walk out. There's no staying power with a hired hand. The hired hand is after his own preservation, not your preservation. Sounds a lot like the world, doesn't it? It is a lot like the world. In fact, we could say in this passage that the world really is the hired hand. As long as the world is meeting our needs and the world is getting what it needs from us, the world will be there for us. But boy, if we find ourselves at a loss, it's gone. So Jesus is saying that's not the good shepherd. The good shepherd is one that owns the sheep. So the ownership is key here. And maybe we all understand an aspect of ownership because owners look at things a little differently. They can't leave. Hear me clearly. God created you. God made you. And God is never going to leave you. He's the owner. He's not the hired hand. It's no matter how unlovable you get or how struggled you are or what you don't have to give him or what you said to him last or how many times you doubted him, he's not leaving. He owns you. And he lays down his life for you. That even when you've abandoned, he's the one that is not going to let Satan get you. He's the one that, even though you run far away, as we heard in the story of the prodigal son, if you watch the children's piece, he's the one that is waiting for your return, and he'll never leave. What a gift. Your life is worth his life. I'm reminded of the psalm that King David wrote in the Old Testament. It reads like this. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He who made us, we are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. That means he has his provision for us. That means he made us and we belong to him. Your life is worth God's life. And we see that through Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing will separate you from him. I think there's a second key, because the good news keeps going. If we read on in John chapter 10, verse 14, we read this way. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Imagine that. Not only is your life worth his life, your life is worth his knowing. Whoa. Now you might be saying, well, what does God know about me? Well, he knows everything. He knows everything that you have deep in the secret pockets that you don't want anybody else to know, because you're afraid that if they knew that about you, they'd be like the hired hand out of here. But Jesus knows everything about you. You are worth his knowing, and he hasn't run. He hasn't abandoned. I think it's the most incredible news of all. Because that's the thing that we often get afraid of the most with our friends and our neighbors, that people won't like us or know us if they really knew us well. Jesus knows you well, but there's another piece. He says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father. Now, that's hard to get my head around, that I could know Jesus, I can know God, like Jesus knows God. Whoa. Maybe you never thought about that. I know the text, when I was reading through it, kind of hit me in a new way. What Jesus did when he came to earth was to show us the very nature and character of God. And he said, I'm here so you can know me. Through all these I am sayings are so that you can know who I am and you can relate to me. Imagine that. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you know him? You might be wondering, are you his own? Because he says, my own know me. So if you don't know him, you might be wondering, well, do I belong to him or do I not belong to him? That's a good question. We want to be able to answer that question. Because if Jesus is the good shepherd and he cares for all the flock, we might wonder, am I in there? He wants you to be. He wants you to be his own. You might be gathered together with your friends. You might be gathered with your family. You might be asking the same question. I want to know God. All you have to do is just ask him into your life. When you ask him into your life, say, God, I want to be in the flock. Then he's going to begin to reveal to you who he is. And you will start knowing him. Because his spirit will begin to reside in you. He'll open up the word of God for your life. And it'll be like, well, I never knew God was like this. It's an incredible feeling. Your life is worth his knowing. But let's read a little further. I think we'll get some more of the answer. In John 10, verse 16, it goes on. It says this, As I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them in also. Hear that? I have other sheep that are not in the fold. I must bring them in. This is a push. He's saying, I must bring them in. This is his calling. Jesus is saying, I must have them in the flock. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Hear that again? I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. What Jesus is literally saying is, listen, the crucifixion wasn't some just bad man sticking Jesus on the cross. That this was planned by God to lay down his life for you, because your life was worth his life. And your life is worth his knowing. But there's something even more important. Your life is worth his pursuing. Get that. If you're wondering, are you in the flock? God's not done with you yet. Your life is worth his pursuing. He's saying there are others out there, and I want them in the flock because I want them in eternity. I want them to know me. I want them to have this peace that I have for them. I want them to have eternity. And he will chase, and he will chase. You know, we've been saying this time out that we have, this time by which, man, what are we going to do with some extra time? Some of you are working harder than ever, and I thank you for that. Some of you in the healthcare system and trying to stock groceries, you're working harder than ever, but others are going, what am I going to do with my time? And I'm saying, seek God. But that's not new for God. He's been seeking you all of your life. He's like the hound of heaven, and he is never going to give up. Your life is worth his pursuing. Jesus tells a story of a lost sheep. And he says the one sheep goes away. And he leaves everybody else contained in the nice sheep pen. And he goes out and he risks his life to find that one sheep. And at the end of it, he finds the sheep. And it says, all of heaven rejoices, for this one that was lost is found. Your life is worth God's pursuing. And as long as you're living on the face of the earth, Jesus will not stop pursuing you. He cares about you that much. And he wants you in heaven with him. He wants you in eternity with him. Because remember, he's the owner. He created you and he made you. Your life is worth that. But there's some more good news. If you'll skip down in your Bibles to verse 27 of chapter I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Hear that. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Get that. No one will snatch them out of my hand. In essence, when we become a part of the flock, when we're owned by Him, when we're a part, no one can take you away. It means that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit moves into your life and into my life, God has assured that Satan cannot take you out of that fold. You are secure. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He's saying, come to me and I will hold you. And listen, he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. He's saying there's no one more powerful than the Father. No one. No one. Let me tell you, I want to be in my Father's grip. And I know sometimes I'm in the grip of the world. I'm in the grip of my worries. I'm in the grip of my anxiousness. I'm in the grip of what am I going to do now? I'm in the grip of self-preservation. I'm in the grip of what am I going to get out of this life? I'm in the grip of I need more toys or whatever. I'm in a consumerism grip. I'm in an addiction grip. What is yours? God wants you in His grip. Let me tell you, from my own experience, there's no greater grip than His. And I even have to keep reminding myself just to be in that grip. Particularly when things are crashing around you and you don't know what's going to happen next. I need to know that no one can snatch me out of His hand. I need to know that people that are suffering and struggling in this coronavirus, people that I know, people that don't know, that they're in His grip. Because if we lose our life on earth, we gain it for eternity. If we lose our business on earth, we still have a Father who's given us amazing gifts to move forward. If we get sick or ill, we're in His grip. He has us today, tomorrow, and the next. And for me, that helps me to settle in, to rest at night, and to say, tomorrow, God, show me the next step. And He will. And He will for you. I just want to take some time for us to be praying. There's a lot of prayer requests that are coming up and coming through. They're coming online now. I'm seeing them constantly. And maybe for a moment, I just want to ask you, wherever you are, you don't have to because I don't, some of you in your home, some of you on a walk. Why don't you get on your knees for a change? Maybe you grab your family's hand, bow your heads, and close your eyes, and allow God to be God for a moment. The God of your household, the God of your business, the God of your fears, the God of your worries, the God of our country, and all the tough decisions. I'm going to bow my head. We're going to pray together. Let's pray, God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We realize how fragile our world is, and we're seeing it right before our eyes. Everything that we think we can count on can crumble except for You. Father, I pray for the fears and for the worries. I pray for those suffering and struggling because of economic loss and those who have lost their jobs. And Father, I also praise You at the same right of those that are out there restocking shelves and trying to provide food, and food pantries that are opening and places people can get hot meals and lunches, and people that are walking down streets and leaving relief packages and their phone number to be called if there's a need. We're learning to help one another again. I praise you for that. God, I pray for our school teachers and our homes. We're having to learn something new that we haven't learned before, and some of the frustrations that begin to happen among students and parents that seem burdening, even teachers that are trying to figure it out. And sometimes being home is awesome, and it's wonderful to see dads and moms together with kids and spouses walking down the street together. But at the same time, we know that adds another level of stress because we're not sure what to do with all the time, and may we get on each other's nerves a little bit. God, I pray for grace in these times, that we would learn each other more, that we would ask the deeper questions. We would sit and listen to one another with a greater level of intensity and care, to really hear what someone's saying, not just start in our own way. And we watch the layers of knowing go deeper as you know us. May we begin to know you and one another. God, I pray for our healthcare workers and all that are on the front line. Give an uncommon divine protection that doesn't seem normal. God, give us the ability to do the hard things we need to do right now, and staying at a distance from one another and cleaning like we've never cleaned before, just to allow this virus that's we can't see, we can't touch, we can't smell, begin to dissipate. God, don't bring us back to the old normal. Bring us back to a new normal. And what that might mean in ways that are stronger than ever before. God, I pray for the relief centers and the churches. I pray for the businesses, the large and small, for all the hard decisions leaders are having to make. Would they reach to your grip? And oh, there's so much more. For people that have weddings planned, for funerals where people can't gather and comfort in the same ways. So many differences. But God, you are here and you are present. Show us how to touch other lives, maybe in ways we've never done. That may not be with a physical touch, but caring in ways that maybe will never stop. God, we love you. We thank you for knowing us, for dying for us, for pursuing us. We love you. May your grace abound in these days. In Jesus' precious and holy name we worship and we praise. Amen. Amen. Remember, as you're gathering with your family this week, go online to ctkcharlotte.org. Go to the message sections or go on a mobile app. Those information is there for you. Pull up the message notes. Pull up your family study notes. Spend some time this week instead of watching TV. Dive into His Word. Seek Him more. Stay updated. We'll keep you focused on what's coming up next. So far, next week will be just like this. And we'll be communicating as things unfold. And we'll keep you up to date as how we're responding. Stay in touch. We as a church are praying for you. We love you. Let us know your prayers. Let us know your needs. Let us know how you want to help. And let's help some people radically in these days. God loves you. So do I. God's grace. See you next time. Bye now.